Blog Talk Radio.
Says he has no pleasure in our days. What he does have pleasure in
is us obeying, keeping his commandment, keeping his word. And here's what he has to say about his feast days. I'm going to read from Exodus chapter 12, verse 14. He says, and this day shall be unto you for a memorial. This is what he feels about his feast day. It's for a memorial. And ye shall keep it as a feast to Yah throughout. He doesn't say it's going to be an end. He say, throughout, you shall keep it as a feast throughout your generation. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So there's some people saying that these days are over. We don't have, you know, anything to do with that. Well, that is absolutely not true. You can sit back with us for a few minutes. We're going to delve into this thing about the feast days, and we pray that our message is going to be edified. And there was a time when I first came into this walk, that we heard a doctrine that the feast days, you know, were not to be kept. They were only be kept where Yah has put his name. And, you know, and Yah has put his name in Yerushalom, you know, just the physical Yerushalom. Well, you know, stick with the program. We're going to, by the time it's over with, you're going to have a better understanding of that. So, here we go. I'm glad we have with us today Elder Yahil. He has done some good study on this subject. And I thank Elder and his wife, Ima, because, you know, tell the truth. It's a busy world sometimes. There's no excuses, but a lot of times I have got off track on the feast. And Elders has always, you know, called us and reminded us, and that's what a brother is for, you know. It's not something that I had to depend on. Those are things that I should have done on my own, but as, you know, things got busy and everything, I'm glad to have a brother who would call and say, hey, you know, the feast days are coming up and everything, and I really appreciate that. I remember when I first started keeping the feast, this was about 2000, if I get the year right, probably 2015, I had a better understanding of them. And here's what I got out of it, and this was the real confirmation for me, Elder. I wrote back in 2007-8, when I was first getting into this walk. I was reading and I was wondering, should I keep the Sabbath or not? You know, I had, you know, fresh out of Christianity, and you know, of course we had worship on Sunday, and the people were, the things I had heard about the Sabbath, Jesus is our Sabbath, you know, Yehoshua is our Sabbath, and just a lot of confusing doctrine on that. And so, you know, and then this grace versus law thing. And I said, man, if I keep the Sabbath, and this was all internally in my spirit. I was really battling. This about the Sabbath. It's not about the feast. But it's going to relate to that. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering, I said, man, should I keep the Sabbath? I said, that's going back under the law, you know. And it was like the angel, you know, you saw the cartoon when an angel be on one shoulder, a devil be on the other shoulder. I would turn around and listen to what he's saying there. I'd turn around and listen to what he's saying. It was pretty much like that. I wanted to do right. I wanted to do the right thing. And this was just about the Sabbath, mind. And I was thinking, well, you know, if I do that, I'm going back on the law. And it says, you know, Christ will become of no effect to you if you, you know, go back on the law. I tell you, it was a struggle. But I prayed, I read, and you know, Yahshua says, think not that I'm come to destroy the law. And then when I was reading even some of Paul's epistles, which all the Christians champion, oh, that's our apostle Paul from Christendom, you know, like he tells us, you don't have to keep these days. But even Shaul was teaching on the Sabbath day. Can't think right off the top of my head about the feast. He said, I must keep the feast. And Paul was keeping the feast. He's talking about the Sabbath day. As he went into the temple and taught on the Sabbath day, he said, wait a minute, it's not like these apostles are keeping the Sabbath. And, the apostles have already ascended. And that helped me make up my mind. I remember the first Sabbath, and this is it. This is it right here. I remember the first Sabbath that I observed. That I observed as the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
Here was a witness to me. Such a peace came over me.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I didn't do much. I pretty much just sat in the house. I didn't go to a fellowship that first Sabbath that I kept. I was sat in and prayed and read scripture. Such a peace the entire day. And the atmosphere, the rain was filled with the presence of Yah. And I mean heavy. You can feel the presence of Yah. It was like when I, back in church days when they first so-called get saved, such, at least my experience, it was an overwhelming spiritual experience. And it was that same spiritual experience when I first got saved. That's how I knew I had made the right choice.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been keeping the Shabbat since. And so what does it have to do with the feet? Okay, here's what it has to do with the feet. Now,
mm-hmm.
When I started my study about the feast, should I keep the feast? First of all, I had heard, no, you don't keep the feast. It's only in Jerusalem. But when I did further study on the feast,
mm-hmm.
and when I came to the understanding that, yes, these feasts are to be kept as a memorial, just like the scripture said. And very vividly, I remember the feast when I kept the, I'm trying to think of this, because this is where it was just like the Sabbath experience. Day of Atonement. Oh, Elder, when I observed the Day of Atonement,
mm-hmm.
it was the very same. I mind you not, it was the very same supernatural, totally overwhelming spiritual experience that I had when I first kept the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
And it let me know again that I had made the right choice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just flooded. The anointing was all in the room. And I'm praying to Yah, I was fasting that day, reading scriptures. I was listening to a few of the Hebrew shows online, one of the brothers online.
Mm-hmm.
And I give, thanks to that brother because it was a very good show. It was a very good show, and it was about the feast, and particularly it was about the Day of Atonement. And Elder, it was the very same thing.
Mm-hmm.
The room was flooded with the presence of the Most High. It was just such a beautiful thing. And that's when I knew I was on the right track.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm telling our listeners, listen to the line. Even those of you who may have some type of misgivings about the feast, are they done away with? Are they to be observed? Or should we only keep them to Jerusalem? Listen with an open mind. And, after our program is finished tonight, do like I did. Get with Yah yourself in prayer and even fasting and give His word and look at it anew. Ask Yah, give me an understanding on the feast. Because we're not just telling you to rely on our show as the end all be all. If our show leads you to the point of self-discovery, of you just getting into the Word for yourself and just sparking that interest to say, you know, I want to pursue this further. I want to study this further. I have this understanding of it, but you know what? Something just sparked in me, and maybe I had it wrong. Let me check this out, because that was my experience. I thought I was doing it the right way by not observing. It did something, you know, spark my interest. I said, I need to pursue this further. And that's what we're hoping for tonight, El. Mm-hmm. And those who keep the peace, and you know the beauty of it, you know the joy of it. Well, we're just asking you to join us in this walk, and pray for the others, and you know, just keep on doing what you're doing.
Hallelujah.
Because God does have pleasure in His feast days.
That's right.
You know, people do read that scripture, but I take no pleasure in your feet. Well, Yah's talking about a whole different thing there. He doesn't have any pleasure in demonic days. But in his days, just like he has pleasure in all of our obedience, he does take pleasure when his people obey. So we're just telling those to keep an open mind. And I'm going to go ahead and let Elder, he's going to bless us. Elder has done some intense study on this, and I'm definitely waiting to hear from it. And I'm going to go ahead at this time and turn this over to Elder Yahil.
Mm-hmm.
And let's bless us. Step right up, Elder. And do your thing.
All right. Hallelujah. Torah, Elder. Torah for the introduction and the comments that you have made, you know, concerning this feast today. Tonight we won't be able to go through all of the feast days, but we're going to just go with the beginning, the first one, because there's some pretty interesting understanding that we need to get from even the first feast day of the year, which is the Passover. We want to kind of start there looking at this first, because we want to understand what Yah is trying to show us, so that as we continue on this study, we may have to continue on even next week. We want to be able to have a good understanding of all of the significant things that Yah have had us to do during the time that we were actually keeping these days, okay? Like it tells us, instructs us in the scripture, you see? So we want to just go through some things, because right now things have changed a bit, because we're in our land of captivity now, you see? And being that we're in the land of our captivity, then certain things we can't quite do exactly like we were instructed to do is on the physical anyway, you see? And so we're going to be looking at some of the spiritual significance, spiritual things that we want to keep in mind and be considering during these sacred hours, okay? And we're just going over to Leviticus chapter 23, where it says here, verse 1, and Yah spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, the appointed times of Yah, which you are to proclaim as set apart gatherings, my appointed times are these, okay? And so, and let's go down to verse 5, okay? But here, the next verse goes, 6 days work is done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, a set apart gathering. You do no work. It is a Sabbath to Yah in all your dwellings, you see. So there it is. The first set apart day, it talks about it. Yah talks about it here in Leviticus chapter 23. So as we continue on, let's look at verse 5 real quick. So, because like I said, we're going to try to start with the first set apart day, you know, the Passover. In verse 5, it says, and the first new moon on the 14th day of the new moon between the evenings is the Passover to Yah. Okay? So this time, we're not going to get into trying to break down exactly what time this all starts, because we know in the spring of the year, and we're going to get into that sometime, but right now we're just going to deal with some of the things that should be taking place on the Passover, okay? And I want to just go right on over to, let's look at Exodus chapter 12, okay? Because in Exodus chapter 12, you'll see the Passover, when it was instituted, just prior to us leaving Egypt, okay? If we go to Exodus chapter 12, verse 1, it says here, "And Yah spoke to Moses and to Aharon in the land of Mishrim, saying, This new moon, a new month, is the beginning of new months for you." You know, in some of these transcripts, we got new moon, okay, which I know is new month, okay? And so it is the first new month of the year for you, all right? First new month in Exodus 12, verse 1. And in verse 2, it goes on, "Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, On the 10th day of this new month, or new moon, each one of them is to take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household." Okay? And verse 5, it says, "Let the lamb be a perfect one, a year old male, taken from the sheep or from the goats." Okay? So that's Yah's instructions concerning this lamb, a perfect one. Okay? It has to be a clean lamb, one that is, you know, very healthy and everything. So if we look at, for instance, let's look at John, book of John, about this male lamb without blemish, okay? We're going to see that this lamb is Yahushua, all right? This is the spiritual representation of this male lamb, okay? If we go to John chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 36, okay? St. John, verse 36 says, "And looking at Yahushua walking, he said, See, the Lamb of Yah." You see? The Lamb of Yah. There it is. Okay?
Hallelujah.
Yes. And if we go on over to Revelation chapter 14, it tells us, verse 1, "And I looked and saw a Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written upon their foreheads." Okay? So if the Bible is clear who that lamb represented. Okay? The Lamb of Yah, Yahushua. Okay? So, and let's go back to Exodus. All right? And we're going to look at Exodus 12 again, chapter 3. "Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, On the 10th day of this new month, each one of them is to take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a house." Okay? So this lamb for a house. And if we go ahead and look and think about this here, notice it started on the 10th day. Notice that? The 10th day of that new month. And then it goes on to say, all right, let me just read on down here. "And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the beans, according to each man's need, you make your account for the lamb." Okay? And "Let the lamb be a perfect one, a year old, take it from the sheep or from the goats." Okay? So, and further on down, we're going to look at, there was 4 days, 10, 11, 12, 13. Well, actually, let's just look at something in Revelation 13, verse 18. Okay, real quick. verse 8, and all those dwelling on the earth whose names have not been written in the book of life of the book of life of the slain lamb from the foundation of the world shall worship him. You see? So Yahushua is that lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Okay? So and if we come on and take a really closer look at this thing, Yahushua was selected to be slain in as the lamb from the creation or recreation of the earth. Which, if we believe scripture happened about 6,000 years ago, for instance, going by the day for a thousand years rule as pictured in Psalms 94, and we can go there if we want to take a look at that, you see, because we want to make sure we are clear coming straight from the scriptures. Psalms chapter 90, in verse 4 tells us here, for a thousand years in your eyes are like yesterday that has passed, or like a watch in the night. You see? And go back to 2 Peter. All right? We're going to look at this, you see, so that we can get an understanding what is taking place with the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Okay? 2 Peter chapter 3. Okay? And look at verse 8 again, too. All right? Tells us here, to sum up, let all of you be like-minded, sympathetic, loving as brothers, tender-hearted, humble-minded, okay? And it goes on to say, not returning evil for evil, nor rebelling for reveling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this in order to inherit a blessing, okay? So hallelujah for that, hallelujah. But, you know, we can see that 1,000 years, okay, is going to 1,000-year rule, looking at Psalms 90 and verse 4, we can see, you know, that for 1,000 years, in God's, your eyes are like yesterday, just like a day, okay, that has passed, or like a watch in the night, okay? Yahushua was, of course, selected. Think about this now, 4 days before he was killed, because he entered the world as a man 4,000 years or 4 days after the world was formed. See? And at the highest spiritual level, Yahushua fulfills the requirements of Passover. Okay? You see? So that's why Yahushua is our Passover lamb. We don't go out killing lambs now, animals, doing that animal sacrifice now, because we have Yahushua, okay? And let's look at verse 7 again, 7 and 2:13 in Exodus 12. Let me look at that. It tells us here, and they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat, okay? And they shall eat the flesh all that night, roasted in fire, with unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs. They eat it, okay? Do not eat it raw, nor boil it at all with water, but roasted in fire, its head with its legs and its inward parts. And do not leave it on, off it until, let me read that again. And do not leave off it until morning. And what remains of it until morning, you are to burn with fire. Okay? And this is how you eat it: your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Passover of Yah. Passover of Yah. And I shall pass through the land of Mizraim on that night, and shall strike all the firstborn in the land of Mizraim, both man and beast, and on all the mighty ones of Israel, I shall execute judgment. I am Yah, and the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I shall pass over you, and let the plague not come on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Mizraim. You see? So, you know, the people, you know, you see what it says, of the houses were covered by the blood of Yahushua. Okay? Yeah, that's what the significance of that blood being put on the household there, the doorpost of the household and so forth. Now, if we look at, go back to Leviticus chapter 13. Let's just read a little bit there, you know, because we want to try to get as much understanding from Scripture as we talk about this thing, because that's the key, following the word of Yah, getting your understanding from there. Leviticus chapter 13, and if we look at verse 11, and then, verse 11 in Leviticus chapter 13, then we see where it says it is an old, let me see, make sure I get this right, chapter 13, and, okay, all right, okay, let me move on to, I think I got the wrong scripture on that one, but anyway, as we look at this thing, we can see, a shadow of the blood, the things that was happening and taking place was merely a shadow of the substance we will experience in these last days when our great exodus will be taking place too. You see? Because there's another exodus. Yeah, and, if we go to Jeremiah, we'll see what it tells us. Okay? Jeremiah chapter 16. Yeah, because this is the one I've been looking forward to a long time ago. Starting with verse 14. Therefore, see, the days are coming, declares Yah, when it is no longer said, Yah lives, who brought up the half children of Israel from the land of Mizraim, but Yah lives, okay, who brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all the lands where he had driven them. For I shall bring them back into their land I gave to their fathers. Okay? So it's going to be another exodus for us this time. But this time it's going to be, I guess, far greater because, you know, it won't be said. We won't be talking about the one that we came through when we came about Egypt, okay? So hallelujah for that, you know? And when we go back here and look at the scripture again in Exodus, I'm going to look at verses 24, looking at that to 27, Exodus 12, okay? We want to go back there because this is very important for us, you know, because you know, we are in captivity right now, and we don't want to be confused about what we're doing or what we should be doing and so forth, okay? So Exodus 12, verse 24, it reads, and you shall guard this word as a law, okay? Guard it as a law for you and your sons forever, and it shall be when you come to the land which Yah gives you, as he promised, that you shall guard this service, okay, this Passover. And it shall be when your children say to you, what does this service mean to you? Then you shall say, it is the Passover, slaughtering of Yah, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Mizraim, in Egypt, when he smote the Mizraimites and delivered our household. And the people bowed their heads and did obeisance. Okay? So hallelujah, hallelujah. See? So Passover is a memorial to us, okay? To teach our children from generation to generation that the salvation of Yah still remains evermore, forever, okay? The salvation, Yah's salvation
is still intact. However, since Yahushua is our Passover lamb, we just read, the representation of atonement by sacrifice has passed from earthly animals to Yahushua himself. Okay? So that's why we don't have to do all of the rituals that we did then. Okay? Now it has been passed from practicing these things here on earth to Yahushua. And let's take a look at Daniel, for instance. Daniel chapter 9, he tells us, let me get to it real quick here, going through these pages, all right, of scripture. Daniel chapter 9, and then we'll look at verse 27, all right? He tells us here, and he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, and in the middle of the week, he shall put an end to slaughtering and meal offering. On the wing of abominations, he shall lay waste even until the complete end, and that which is decreed is poured out on the one who lays waste. You see? So he's going to put it in. Yahushua was sent to put an end to the sacrificial system. Okay? So that's what I tell us. He will put a stop to it. To sacrifices and grain offerings. Okay, this was accomplished by his death and resurrection some 2,000 years ago. Okay, so that's what we want to remember. Okay, so Passover is only to be observed during the period of evening and night. We got to look at that too. Okay, we go back to Exodus to look at verse 22. We want to make sure that we don't get it mixed up, because sometimes, you know, we hear different discussions or different understandings about what time the Passover, you know, is, you know, because it's part of a 24-hour day, okay? But we're going to have to look at this closely. It says here in chapter 12, verse 22. Let's look at that real quick. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop. Make sure I got the right scripture. And it dip it in the blood that is in basins, and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. And you, none of you, shall go out of the door of this house until morning. So they were to remain inside in their houses until the morning, okay? Meaning the morning of the 15th day ended Passover. Okay? That's what we want to make sure we understand, that it's not a 24-hour period for the Passover, because it's linked right next to the week of unleavened bread. Okay, so we want to make sure we keep that keep an understanding of that. Okay, and verse 10 tells us here also that and do not leave of it until morning, and what remains of it until morning, you are to burn with fire. Okay? So when the morning came, the Passover was ended. So that we want to keep in mind, so that we know for sure we understand the times, okay, and so forth in this ceremony, in this service, in this keeping of God's Passover. Right? Deuteronomy 16:5. Let's just take a quick look at that. This is so important to make sure I can find it real quick. Okay, Deuteronomy 16, chapter 5. We're going to kind of see what it tells us, also shed light on what we are talking about tonight. All right, so we want to make sure we open up the scripture, you know, when we are handling God's word in this way, because so much is going out in the world from the world, from the people, that causes misunderstandings. Okay? It's just that simple, because that's why we have to study for ourselves. Deuteronomy chapter 16, and let's take a quick look at verse 5. Okay? You are not
allowed to slaughter the Passover within any of your gates which Yah, your father, gives you, but at the place where Yah, your father, chooses to make his name dwell. Okay? There you slaughter the Passover in the evening at the going down of the sun at the appointed time you came out of Mitzrayim. Okay? Now, verse 6. Okay. And you shall roast and eat it in the place which Yah, your father, chooses. And in mourning you shall turn and go to your tents. You see? So when the morning comes, as he tells you on verse 5, you are not allowed to slaughter the Passover within any of your gates which Yah, your father, gives you. You know, that's telling us we can't just do this anywhere. When we were doing it, putting it in practice, doing the physical act of this particular service, okay? We wasn't allowed to just be able to just go anywhere and do this, practice this, because we wasn't not allowed. That's what he's telling us here, all right? And again, like I say, you know, this particular Passover is part of a 24-hour period, okay? It's part of it, okay? It's not the full 24 hours, you know, and that's what we got to understand. First part, the evening, the night, and then night, okay? And Exodus 12:11, look at that real quick. Let's see, verse 11 says, and this is how it is, your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. And it is the Passover of Yah. Again, I want to emphasize that. You see? So that means, says that it tells us to be in haste, but that means we got to be ready, okay? Ready. Actually, we got to be ready to get out of here, you know, to leave away from the place where we are in captive, of our captives, okay? Because and this is what Yah wants us to know about these things. And so think about it, read Yah's word for yourself, study it, because, you know, the spirit of Yah can give you more enlightenment on this subject. And it's very important. But today I had a situation with some young people that came to our setting, our congregation, our gathering today, and young man just coming in from the Christian church and so forth, and he had a lot of questions to ask me, you know, and we talked, and I noticed he's experiencing some of the same kind of stuff that we did when we first came into this walk, Elder. Yeah, I mean, people that he could talk to, he realized quickly now that they won't accept anything he's trying to say about who we are, about the nation of Israel, and so forth. It's like, you know, it's like they are using this JC to rebuke him, you know? and like I told him, just continually to study, because Yah will increase your strength. He's going to increase your learning in this walk. Okay, and you will be able to stop the mouths of these false prophets, these false teachers, and all of that false stuff that is going on, because our people, so many of them right now today, so still, so sleep, they so sleep, so shut down, they just ain't angry. It takes Yah to penetrate their minds, to give them just the desire to want to know, you know, the truth, because a lot of them out there, they don't even want to know it. They don't even want you to talk to them about it or discuss it. It's like, you better come with Jesus for them, or don't come at all, you know.
Right.
And so these things are frustrating for somebody that sometimes could be frustrating, you know, for somebody that just coming into this walk. You know, and that's why I encouraged him continually to study,
to be a workman that needed not to be ashamed. Okay? You, if you study, Yah will is going to give you what you need. He's going to give you the understanding that you need, and he's also, if he, you know, to be used by him, to for him to use you to draw others in. But, you know, it may take a little time, a few days, so, but just don't give up. The main thing, don't let Satan just get you so discouraged because of what you're experiencing. Now, I told him a lot of us have gone through some of the same things when we first came into this walk. Because we're excited about it, and we want to share this message with our friends and our family, you know?
Yeah.
We really do. And so with that, and to get those rejections like that, like you're some hated person, you know, can be frustrated. But continue to pray, because God is with you. Even through the fire, he's with you through the waters. Whatever you're going through, God is with you. You know, so that's what we want to keep in mind. So, Elder, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to you for a little bit, okay? So I'll let you take over from here.
Well, hallelujah, Elder. I was really fed and edified on things you were just reading and giving to us. It's amazing what just the last part that you expressed about the young man and how he was excited and he went back and was wanting to tell, you know, with excitement, wanted to tell people about this truth and ran into a lot of false teachers, false doctors and everything. I mean, like I say, you pretty much laid the foundation really well. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to add a whole lot, but when you said that, it did trigger something that I was reading about the false doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
That ties into the Passover also.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to take it from the Old Testament to the New Testament just briefly.
Okay.
I have to go back over what you read in the Old Testament from Exodus just to lay the foundation. It says, just back in Exodus 12, and I'm sure you've read this tonight, Exodus chapter 12 and verse 13. Well, let me start at verse 12. It says, "For I will pass through the land of Mizraim this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am Yah."
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 13. It says, "And the blood." Okay, this is where we're going to tie it to this false doctrine. Okay, it says, "And the blood shall be to you. It's going to be for Yah's righteous people. Those who are obedient, it's going to be a token upon the houses where ye are. Okay, and it's for you. Not for those outside of the covenant, not for those who walk in sin, but the blood is for you." Who is you? His righteous people, his elect. He says, "And when I see the blood," keep that in mind, when I see the blood, I will pass over you.
Mm-hmm.
That means his judgment will pass over you. "I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you. His elect, his righteous, when I smite the land of Egypt." Okay, now, we got that understanding in the Old Testament. Now, let's go over to 1 Corinthians.
Mm-hmm.
Because this blood, and I mean, you know, this Passover, he was talking about how they ate it in haste.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We're going to talk about the leaven part of this Passover. The leaven and what it stands for. We're going to go right to 1 Corinthians 5, 7, 8. Because a lot of these people that do the false doctrine, they love to go to what they call the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
And we know the whole book is what Yah wants us to follow. You know, he doesn't break it into two different halves.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it says, 1 Corinthians 5, 7, and 8. It says, purge out, therefore, the old leaven.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You're talking about false doctrine. Leaven, sin, error,
mm-hmm.
is false doctrine. Impurity. That's why he wanted a lamb without spot or wrinkle. And who's the lamb that is pure up? That's Yahushua. Okay. So here we go. It's just giving a broader understanding of this Passover. Leaven, error, which is false teaching, which includes false teaching. Impurity. Remember, he wanted a lamb without spot or wrinkle. Yahushua is that lamb. Impurity and sin. What is sin? Transgression of Yah's laws. It's cut and dry. The sin, the transgression of Yah's law. You don't believe it? As simple as this. 1 John 3 and 4. Whosoever committed sin transgresseth also the law. Now, here's the cut and dry part. For sin is the transgression of the law. That's just like saying, for 2 plus 2 is 4.
Hmm.
2 plus 2 doesn't equal anything else. It equals 4. It doesn't equal 5. It doesn't equal 3. It equals 4. 2 plus 2 equals 4. 1 plus 1 equals 2.
Mm-hmm.
Sin equals the transgression of the law.
That's right.
The transgression of the law equals sin. So we're talking about, I'm going to say, because we're talking about, Paul's going to give a broader understanding of this Passover. And you said it too. Yahushua is our Passover. Out of leaven, what is leaven? Sin. It's error, which includes false doctrine and impurity. So, knowing that understanding, it says, purge out therefore the old leaven. And again, this is 1 Corinthians 5, 7, and 8. 5 and 7 right now. Purge out therefore the old leaven. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You want to get out the impurities? You want to get out the error? What was the error? Because we followed it for a long time, Elder. In Christianity, the false doctrine. Get all out. That ye may be a new lump.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think anybody being a Shiaki is a new creature, right? The old things pass away. So we came to a new understanding. We let that old doctrine go. Why would you get into this enlightenment and in this truth, but carry on a doctrine you know is false? Why would you do that? Purge out the old man.
Mm-hmm.
And says, as you are living, for even Mashiach, Yahushua HaMashiach, even our Mashiach, even Yahushua, our Passover,
mm-hmm.
as the Passover,
mm-hmm.
Yahushua, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Remember when we read back in Exodus chapter 12, Yah said, when he's seen the blood, he'll pass over us. See, and that's why he passed, and this is for his elect, his people. He's going to pass over.
Mm-hmm.
What is the big false doctrine? What is the big lie? Christianity tells us that this is how they misconstrue it. This is how they pervert it and distort it.
Mm-hmm.
They are talking about the blood allows us to basically sin because you got grace and law.
Mm-hmm.
You don't wait on the law. You keep the law, you're no longer under grace. You know, when you accept Jesus, that's your ticket. You made it in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's false doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When you say you're not under the law anymore, that's false doctrine. How's it false doctrine? Well, Yahushua says, think not that I come to destroy the law. Okay? Why didn't Yahushua just say, I came to destroy the law? I came to destroy the law.
Mm-hmm.
He says the very opposite.
Right.
Think not that I am come to. Why? Why would he say, well, now y'all talking about two different things? No, we're still talking about our Passover.
Right.
Yahushua is our Passover.
Mm-hmm.
The subject hasn't changed. We're talking about the false doctrine, the false leaven. He said, think not that I am come to destroy law. Heaven and earth pass away, one jot and one tittle of his law shall not be destroyed. So he did not come to destroy law. And Shaul is telling us, get rid of that old false doctrine that you fell into, the religious doctrine. It says, purge out therefore the old leaven, the error of your way, the error, the false doctrine, the impurity.
Mm-hmm.
It says, the sin, that ye may be a new law. Any man be a Mashiach, he is a new creature. Mm-hmm. As ye are unleavened, it says, are even Yehoshua, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. He was a sacrifice for us to continue to practice sin.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how it works. He doesn't cover the people who practice sin. His bloodshed, remember y'all says back in Exodus, when he sees the blood, he'll pass over?
That's right.
Is he thinking, yeah, he'll pass over all of us, all the people who accepted Jesus? It doesn't work like that.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't pass over your sin. He passed over all those who are obedient, who are walking in his truth.
Mm-hmm.
First John, and we're talking about Yehoshua, our Passover. This is what his Passover blood did.
Mm-hmm.
It saved our forebears, our ancestors. Back in the day, they were in Mizraim. They put the blood over the doorpost. And when the death angel saw that blood, it passed over. Who it went to? It went to those who were outside of Yah's covenant. It went to those Egyptians.
Mm-hmm.
Like he says, man and beast alike.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They received the plague. And who's going to receive the plague today? Those who are not in covenant with Yah.
That's right.
Through Yehoshua. Those who are not a law keeper. Those who are not only not a law keeper, but teaches others.
Mm-hmm.
Do not keep the law.
That's right.
You know, both of them, that not only they don't keep it themselves, but they discourage others. And what is to discourage others? They're teaching others not to do it. That's the false doctrine. That's the false leaven. This is what that blood does. And they think that blood is going to protect them. That blood doesn't protect them. That blood is conditional. It's conditional to those who are obedient to him, who walk in his laws and commandments.
Mm-hmm.
Here what it says in 1 John 1:6. If we say that we have fellowship with him, okay, so we're supposed to have fellowship with Most High, and walk in darkness. You're not walking in truth, you're walking in darkness.
Right.
You're walking in sin. We lie and do not the truth. You're lying and you're not walking in truth. And then look what the blood is for. Look what the blood is for. But if we walk in the light,
mm-hmm.
Now, if we read that so quick, we'll skip over the smallest word there.
Mm-hmm.
But if we walk in the light, do you know what word is small that we skip? That's a big word in this phrase. If, I am. That's conditional.
Mm-hmm.
It says, if we walk in the light, if we do it, we got to walk in his truth. We can't walk in sin. We can't walk. We can't hold on to that old leaven.
That's right.
They purge out there for the old leaven. First Corinthians 5:7. Purge out the old leaven.
That's right.
We can't keep the old leaven and think that blood applies to us.
Mm-hmm.
It says, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, as you know, Yahushua's not darkness, he's in the light. It's a, we have fellowship with one another. And here's what the blood does. The blood is for those who are walking in Yah's truth.
Mm-hmm.
He said, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Yahushua, who's our Passover, the blood of Yahushua, who's our Passover, cleanses us from all sin. It cleanses us from all sin.
Mm-hmm.
What sin? That's the impurities in us. That's the humanness in us. When we fall short, but we're practicing righteousness. We're walking in righteousness. If we is somebody who walks in sin, who practices sin. It says, if we walk in light, we have fellowship with him, and the blood cleanses us from all sin, from all transgression. Now, do you know this part right here, cleanses us from all sin? Do you remember the scripture I read earlier in 1 John 3 and 4? It says sin is the transgression of the law. So it says his blood cleanses us from all transgression of the law. If we come short, we're practicing righteousness. I mean, we're walking in righteousness because if we walk in the light, so we're walking in righteousness. That's when his blood covers. Those who are walking in covenant, those who are walking in obedience to God's laws and commandments. Because look at here, 1 John 3 and 8. He say, he that committed sin, if you're not walking, if you're transgressing the law, remember sin is transgressing the law, he that committed sin is of the devil.
That's right.
Okay, so if you're walking in sin, if you're transgressing the law, you're practicing sin, they say you're of the devil. For the devil transgressed, or the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of Yah was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of Yah, the born-again believers, doth not practice sin, does not commit sin, does not what? Transgress the law. There it is, right there. Whosoever is born of Yah, a lot of Christians say born again, does not transgress the law.
That's right.
Elder, I'm reading it pretty much, you can say verbatim.
That's right.
1 John chapter 3 and 9.
That's right.
Say, oh, but they didn't say exactly that. They're going to say, it actually says, whosoever is born of God, that's what they say, is, does not commit sin. Well, you take this. We know the name of the Most High, whosoever is born of Yah, so that takes care of that. And they say, well, it says, does not commit sin. Well, let's go right back up to verse 4, and it spells out what sin is.
Right.
Sin is the transgression of the law. So we're not saying nothing different. Sin is a transgression of the law. So therefore, whosoever is born of Yah, whosoever say they are truly born again, doth not transgress the law.
That's right.
All right. So if you transgress the law, that blood, Yahushua Passover, that pure, unblemished, uncontaminated blood, does not cleanse you, because you are a worker of iniquity.
Yes,
you're the one that's going to be going around when he says, when you tell him, hey, didn't we do this in your name? Didn't we say this in Jesus' name, or this name, or this name? Didn't we do this in your name? Didn't we go to church every Sunday? Didn't we call out to you? He says, depart from me, you that work iniquity.
That's right.
You transgress the law. Because if you were born, he says, except you be born again. Remember back in Matthew. Except you be born again, you're not going to enter the kingdom.
That's right.
It says, whosoever is born of Yah does not transgress the law. That's why he's going to tell them. That's why he's going to tell them, I never knew you.
There you go.
You were transgressors. You transgress the law. You transgress the very law that I told people that I did not come to destroy. You fed them that unrighteous leaven, and many partook of that. Many ate that unrighteous leaven. And their blood is on your hand. These false leaders, these false teachers, just like you said that young man, Brandon, too. So we want to get this clear. Yes, Yahushua is our Passover. And what Yah demands is for his people, just like Yahushua was a pure sacrifice, a pure lamb, he expects for his people to walk in purity. And he said, if you do that, my son, his sacrificial blood, his atoning blood, just like Yahweh, when he's in the blood, he'll look over you. He say, when I see my people walking in righteousness, walking in truth, he say, when I see my son's blood, I'll look over your impurity. I'll look up over your imperfections. But not when you practice sin. Not when you are a law breaker instead of a law keeper. Yahushua says he did not come to destroy the law. So we have to walk in obedience. And the last one I'm going to read, the other, is 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. For this is the love of Yah. You know, say, oh, well, Yahushua only gave us two commandments, to love Yah, and he say all the other commandments hang on this. All the other commandments hang on this. Thou shalt love Yah. Well, let me just put it like they say first. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all that heart, soul, mind, spirit. You know why he said all the other commandments hang on that? Because they literally do. Because look what he said about loving your God or loving Yah. Look what he said about it. And you got to do it. Because if you really do it, you're doing all the commandments. Look what he said about the love. They say, oh, all the commandments hang on this love thing. Well, they do. But you better read it more clearer, and you'll know that all of them literally hang. That means you got to do them all literally. Say, but this is the love of Yah. Verse 3, chapter 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. But this is the love of Yah. And here it is. He said, all hang on these commandments. This is the love of Yah, that we keep his commandments. I mean, you got to keep all the commandments.
That's right.
If you love the Yah, you keep all of his commandments. It didn't say commandment without there saying commandment. That means all of them. It says, and his commandments are not grievous. They're not grievous if you love him. So hallelujah for Yehoshua, our Passover. And hallelujah for the unleavened bread. The bread without the error, the false teaching, the impurity, that without the blemishes. Because we know if we want his blood to have the same effect that it had in what they call Old Testament days, you know, where Yah said when he see that blood, he's gonna have the plagues to not come upon us. He's going to have a death angel to pass over us. If we want that blood to have the same similar effect, we have to walk in truth.
That's right.
That's our lesson. We have to walk in purity and truth. And if we do, his blood will have that same power, that same effect, where the plagues will not come nigh us. And I will order them to be passed over. It will pass over us, literally. If we walk in his truth. But if we take that unleavened, if we take that error and think that if we can live any type of way, we can be lawbreakers. We can literally say we are not under the law. We can say that we do not have to keep the law, but we are under grace. You're making his word a liar. You're twisting and distorting his word. You're misrepresenting his word. That's that unleavened. That's that unrighteous leaven. And those plagues, his blood, is not going to protect you. Yah's plague is not going to skip over you. As a matter of fact, you're going to be partakers of it. You know, just like it says when he talks about it in Revelation chapter 18, where he told to come out of Babylon, they say, for you be not partakers of her plague. Well, what's the reverse of that? If you don't come out, you are going to be partakers of it.
That's right.
The plagues are going to come upon you. So here, if you walk in unrighteousness, if you are a bold lawbreaker, you know, you just unabashed. You just unabashedly proclaim that we're not under the law of the Lord. You're going to walk in impurity? Yes. Then his blood is not going to protect you. You are going to partake of the plague. You're going to have the same result as the Egyptians. And you heard the mourning, the weeping and wailing that went up that night,
mm-hmm.
as the death angel slew all the firstborn, you were going to partake of those plagues. Because not only were you a lawbreaker, but you taught others to do so.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's just what I wanted to bring out, Elder. With our Passover, that blood does have that same power. Just like the plagues passed over those of our ancestors, yes, the plagues will pass over us. But we have to be in covenant with Yah.
Mm-hmm.
We have covenant. We have to be law keepers, not law breakers.
Hallelujah. And see, that's why it's so important that we understand, see, because the spirit of the law is still intact, okay? And that's why we can observe the feast days now, you see? We've got to understand the spirit of the law, and that's what we got to, and we can't just let somebody tell us something and then we just go running with that, you know? Because even Yahushua says in John 6:63, it is the spirit that gives life. The flesh does not profit at all. And it says the words that I speak to you are spirit and are life. So in other words, the laws that I speak to you are spirit and are life.
Hallelujah.
So we got to definitely understand that, you know, so that we don't be deceived. Because a lot of different winds and doctrines have gone out into this world. And what we want to do, you know, if we continue on with this later in our next series or something, we want to, you know, touch other parts of this feast day that we didn't touch on tonight. Because, you know, we want to look at the week of unleavened bread. I noticed you talked about that unleavened bread. We want to look at that leavened bread, unleavened bread, okay? And we're going to try to just move on into all of them because right now we're in that season, we're in that month that, well, we're coming up on that month, the Hebrew month, I'm talking, not the Gregorian calendar, you know, because we're trying to go by the Hebrew calendar when it comes down to us observing these feast days, okay? And so, you know, because we know that the feast of, and some people have already observed it, but you see the feast of trumpets and the Day of Atonement and, you know, and the feast of booths. So we want to be able to look at those and get a clear understanding on those too, because we know that these are very important feasts that we should observe, you know. Again, because of the spirit of the law is still intact. You see, and we don't want to become lawbreakers by discounting it, you know, ignoring it. And so, because we have Yahushua as our Passover lamb, Yahushua is everything for us to us now, you see? And we got to make sure we understand and just stay in his word. You see? Because that's what he's saying. If we just stay, and if anyone desires to do his desire, he shall know concerning the teachings, whether it is from Yah or whether I speak from myself. That's John chapter 7, looking at verse 17. Okay? So this is why it is so important that we observe his word. His word, his laws, and so forth, that we will have that understanding, you see, and we don't have to be out here fumbling around in darkness trying to figure out what should I be doing, how should I handle this, you know? So, yeah, that's why you got to do your own research, you got to study his word, read his word, stay in his word, okay? Because, you know,
and you know, Elder, I'd like to point this out to our listeners, and why we go so strong sometimes on the false doctrine. See, when you come out of something, you have a, I'll just say, you come from a knowledge base, you can He's in it in all of our lives. And we're not just singling out Christianity. I mean, there's thousands of different belief systems in this world. There are millions. You know, people create their own in their own mind, in their own little universe, their own world. You know, to them, God is like this. God is a person who lets them fornicate. You know, that's just love for them. I mean, there's a million belief systems.
Mm-hmm.
But we come out of something, we have the authority to speak on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it says about the watchman, if you see, and I'm paraphrasing, if you see a brother or sister going in the error, and you don't warn them, and they fall, and they don't, fall in an unrepentant state, yes, they'll be lost, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And their blood will be on your hand.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But conversely, if you see a brother or sister in error, and you warn them, you do warn them
mm-hmm.
of the error of their ways, and they, let's say they still die in an unrepentant state, yes, they'll be lost, but their blood will not be on your hand. Well, first of all, we want our brothers and sisters to not walk in error, and we want them to make the kingdom. We want to make the kingdom ourselves. We want our brothers and sisters to make the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
But if all hope is lost, we at least want to warn them. You know, we don't want to be said, well, they didn't make it, and guess what? Their blood is on your hands. You did not warn them.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not going to pull any strings when it comes to this. And my ears do not lie. I hear brothers. I scan the internet. I scan different teachings.
Mm-hmm.
I hear this. I hear eloquent speakers speak much more eloquently than I do or And they get part of the truth. Sometimes they get 80%. Sometimes they get 99%.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sometimes they speak so truthful that you're almost caught in the whole thing. And then they slip in this thing about grace, slip in this thing about we're not under the law no more, we don't have to keep this and everything. And I was like, oh my goodness, I hope the people are not deceived by that just because they did say a lot of good things, a lot of right things. But lo and behold, when I look at some of the comments under that, it's like the people have swallowed it, the whole thing, hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah.
It tears my heart up.
Mm-hmm.
It tears me up because these may be people who've heard a good message, who think they've heard the truth and 100% truth, and they heard just enough truth to bait them in and swallow the worm. It's just like that fish. Swallowed the hook. It's just like that fish. He didn't see. All he saw was a big fat worm, you know. And he saw it dangling right in front of his face, and he just said, dinner, dinner, dinner.
Mm-hmm.
That's all he said. And he didn't see that hook that was the worm was encased around.
Mm-hmm.
So once he bit into that big fat juicy dinner, the worm, the hook was part of that. And a lot of these brothers and sisters, they're teaching eloquently, they're speaking eloquently, and they're delivering the message, and they have a lot of truth, but it's a hook in there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost all the same. It almost always the same in this factor. They want to get Yah's people from following his laws and commandments.
Mm-hmm.
They say, we don't have to do that. They say, oh, but we don't have to do that, but when you get Jesus, you live righteously. You know, you live right. When you love Yah, you live. Well, we just read in his word. I tell you, my friend, we just read in his word. When you love Yah, you keep his commandments.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Okay, but you're trying to make love this esoteric thing, this feeling that's just somehow, you know, it's just some supernatural feeling you walk around with. Love in your heart, and that's going to get you into the kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now you're leading Yah's people astray,
mm-hmm.
and we're not going to stand here, not on our watch, and just let it go by.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to define things clearly. That's why I love Yah's word. Sometimes it just gets so clear. clearer can it get than that? No. And here's the other part, Elder. And I'll be done. Those who struggle with it, let's say, well, some things we don't do. Yeah, you're right. We don't go around killing bulls and bullocks and goats and lambs and everything physically anymore. Your whole foot is our sacrifice. So for those of us as well, you say, well, if you say keep the law, what parts do you keep? What parts do you not keep? You know what? This is where you do your due diligence. You say you love Yah.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a good place to start. There was a book written for you, written for our people. It's called Hebrews. It was written for Hebrews.
Mm-hmm.
What a beautiful manuscript. Read the book of Hebrews. Read it under prayer and the anointing. And I always like to say, even throw in fasting. What's wrong with that? Throw in fasting. You can get your fasting for the understanding.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way you can come out of the book of Hebrews and be confused about what part we keep today. And what part we don't. When I say what part we keep, I'm not saying there's some parts that when sin is okay, it's okay for us to walk in sin. No, we're not confusing that. But we're talking about the sacrificial ceremony and laws.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you still have to sacrifice bullocks and goats? Is there still a man, you know, on earth, or men on earth, who's called a high priest and he has to kill animals, atone for our sin today, you will get a full understanding. Of course, you should know the answer to that is no. Yahushua has done that once with his blood, and you know, God has taken care of that. But you can read Hebrews. And if you just hate to read, you just read the seventh, just start with the seventh chapter of Hebrews. You can get a great understanding of the law, of the covenant, and how. Yahushua has taken over as high priest. You would get a good understanding why we don't sacrifice bulls and goats anymore, why we don't need a man in the flesh as our high priest to make intercession and atonement for us anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a good understanding. The Hebrews has gave me more understanding about the differences, the ordinances, you know, a Levitical priesthood, elder, than anything I've read so far.
Mm-hmm.
And I would suggest that our people get a good understanding from the book of Hebrews.
Mm-hmm.
Because this kind of talk about law and grace, you know, do we still do this? We still do this ceremonial law. That will not be a confusion to you anymore.
Yes,
so do your due diligence. I mean, 2 Timothy 2:15. Study. Show yourself approved, a workman needs not be ashamed, being able to rightly divide the word of truth. That wasn't just meant for a few. That was meant for his people.
That's right.
Do your due diligence. There's no reason if you're walking in this truth for a few years and you still don't have an understanding of that. We can't be spiritually lazy, family. We have to get into our... That's how you open yourself up.
Mm-hmm.
And be gullible for false teaching and false teachers.
That's right.
You wonder what people be falling for this. What people, I mean, the Jim Joneses and all these, the David Koreshes and all this, and even these people in this so-called this Hebrew Israelite world.
Yeah.
What people be falling for this? Guys trying to get, you know, these women and 10 wives and, you know, all this. I mean, is it just a lot of demonic teaching? And you wonder who be falling for this stuff.
Right.
These people who do not want to read for themselves. Their brother, listen to somebody like me and you, Elder.
Mm-hmm.
Just talk them right into the king.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to do that. They don't have to open the scriptures at all. You know,
mm-hmm.
Listen to another teacher. Talk them right into the kingdom. Listen to a false teacher. Talk them right into hell. You know, that's the way it is. You're spiritually lazy.
Mm. Yeah.
There's no time, there's no room for that. You're in a fight for your life, you're in a fight for your salvation.
That's right.
You know, I mean, what is more important than your own salvation?
That's nothing.
So, the book of Hebrews, and I remember
Testament chapter, because that's where I started from. And that pretty much puts it all in a nutshell right there. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, read the other chapters, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's good, Elder. I'll try to give it back to you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Elder. Hallelujah. Well, I'll go ahead and just close it out with these last words here in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I'll go ahead and start with verse 1. So now, brothers, as to the times and the seasons, you do not need to be written to. For you yourselves know very well that the day of Yah comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then suddenly destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. See? Not escape. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. But you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. So then we should not sleep as others do, but we should watch and be sober. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to leave that with us for tonight, and we're going to go ahead and close it out. And we hope to see you next Tuesday night, and with the continuation of our studies. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Okay.
Well, shalom, family.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. All right.
From that time, Joshua began to teach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.